Morning, everyone. Today's daf is Daf Pei Gimel in Menachos. We're finishing up today, God willing, the eighth perek of Menachos. And we are going to be covering the last sugya of the perek. Last sugya of the perek deals with one issue and one issue only. A lot of side points to be made, but the one issue is that when you have an obligation, so it has to come in a chulin, it has to come from non-consecrated items, meaning you cannot take your Meister Sheni and you cannot use it to make good on any of your obligations to the Beit HaMikdash, even if that obligation is self-created. So, for example, you say, I'm going to bring a carbon toda, a lie. It's upon me, it's my own now obligation to bring a carbon toda, so that's it. You are now locked into an obligation to bring a carbon toda. You may not use Meister Sheni, which is not yours, we discussed this just the other day, right. Who it belongs to you, belongs to Kadosh Baruch Hu, Machlokas Rav Yehuda Rameir, but you can't say I'm going to bring my Meister Sheni and use my Meister Sheni money to purchase your Carbon Toda. The Carbon Toda must be purchased from Chulin. And this is not just true by the Carbon Toda, this is a universal rule in the world of Karbanos. Every single time that you have an obligation to bring a Karban, that must come from Chulin, it must come from non-consecrated. Just note, although we did discuss, you can use Meister Sheni to buy a carbon. In fact, it is suggested, if not recommended, right? It's a good word.
Preferred.
It's preferred to use Meister Sheni and buy Shlomim with it, and Meister Sheni money and to buy Shlomim with it and bring the Shlomim as a carbon. And so to say, you're really adorning the Meister Sheni by basically converting it into a carbon shlamim and using it as a carbon shlamim. But if you have a personal obligation, so that's it, you must bring it from Chulin. So how do we know that? So we go back to the Mishnah and Pei Beis Amud Aleph, and the Mishnah and Pei Beis Amud Aleph says it all comes from Pesach. It's all learned from carbon Pesach. Carbon Pesach, when we were in Mitzrayim, only came from Chulin. Didn't come from Meister Sheni. Okay, so that creates a template. That creates now a binyanav, that's the standard, in which now any time that you have an obligation to bring a carbon, it must come from chulin. That is what we learned in the Mishnah. So the Gemara asks the obvious question. The Gemara says, how did you know this by carbon Pesach exactly? How did you know carbon Pesach has to come from chulin? So Rabbi Eliezer says, this now takes us to the Gemara on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. So Rabbi Eliezer says, well, there was no Meister Sheni in Egypt. So Rabbi Akiva says, okay, so you know what you just did? You were just done Efshar Mishi'i Efshar. You took a scenario where they didn't have Meister Sheni, and you now want to learn a halacha to when we go to Eretz Yisrael and when we have Meister Sheni. You can't do that. You can't learn out possible from impossible. Right? That's done in Efshar Mishi'i Efshar. So basically, just quickly to recap yesterday, Rabbi Eliezer, Rabbi Akiva do not come to terms on this issue. Meaning they just simply disagree. And the Gemara says that even though they're arguing with one another, you know, anyone ever have a debate where you know the other person is so entrenched in his position, it doesn't matter what you say. You're not going to change his mind. On this issue, Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva are so entrenched in their position, they're not budging. So Rabbi Eliezer is of the opinion that done in Efshar Mishi'i Efshar. We could take an impossible scenario and learn it to a possible scenario. That cheats Rabbi Eliezer. Good. So that's it. In other words, conversation's over. In Mitzrayim, we didn't have Meister Sheni. Okay, so what? You didn't. When they brought their carbon Pesach, it came from Chulin. It came from non-consecrated money. That's going to be true for all future generations, even when they had Meister Sheni. That's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. Rabbi Akiva disagrees. Ain't done an Efshar Mishi'i Efshar. We can't do that. We can't make such a limud. Good part of today's daf, most of today's daf will then focus on, okay, so if Rabbi Akiva doesn't learn from there, where does Rabbi Akiva learn it and learn out the halacha from? Okay, so that's coming up later on today. Okay, and finally, in the conversation that Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Akiva had, it was a brice that started on Pei Beis Amud Aleph. It goes to the middle of Pei Beis Amud Beis. We finished the entire brice yesterday at the end of the daf. And basically the conclusion of the brisa is, Rabbi Eliezer says to Rabbi Akiva, I have a hekesh. The pasuk says, Va'avadata asavoda zos b'chodesh hazeh, parshas bo, and you're going to do this service in this month. And the Gemara darshins, Rabbi Eliezer darshins, kol avodo shachodesh hazeh kazeh, every time you do an avod in the month of Nisan, otherwise known as the Karban Pesach, it'll be kazeh, it'll be just like this. So that now creates a hekesh, all future Pesach to the Pesach of Mitzrayim. just like in the Pesach of Mitzrayim, it only came from Chulin, so too is that true for all future generations as well. Okay, that is a Hekesh. And that's the end of the Braisa, and Rabbi Akiva had no response. And where we ended yesterday in the Gemara is, how come Rabbi Akiva didn't respond? Why didn't he say anything? Why didn't he ask any questions? And the Gemara says, Eim Yishivin Ala Hekesh. Yeah, because when you have a Hekesh is super strong. And the Hekesh is so super strong that you can't ask questions on a Hekesh. There is an interesting Rashi. I'll start this morning with a Rashi. How come? What makes the Hekesh so strong? What's the power behind the Hekesh? So Rashi, again, there are two Rashis to work with, as it was last parak, as it will be for the next couple of parakim, the Rashi and the Rashi Ksav Yad. Okay. Rashi, we're in the upstairs Rashi. So Rashi says, Zoso Meres, it's like right in the middle of the Rashis, right? Zoso Meres, Midalo Parach, Achi, Emeshim, and Alhekesh, Aka, Afagab, the Ekel, Mefrach, Bein, Beik, Gon Hacha, the Adam, Dan, Kavachom, and Meatmo, the Ein Adam, Dan, Zereshav, Hekesh, Meatmo. So Rashi explains, do you know what makes the Hekesh so strong? It's the fact that a Hekesh has to come halacha Moshe Mesinai. Much like a Gzeirah Shavah, we say this all the time. A Gzeirah Shavah, person cannot make Gzeirah Shavah on his own. It's nearly impossible. Because think about it. A Gzeirah Shavah is just simply, I have a word here and I have a word there. In Chumash, right, there are not an infinite, but pretty close to it. There is how many possible connections can I make in Chumash between common words? Right? You can't do it. In other words, you just simply can't make a Gzeirah Shavah on your own. Gzeirah Shavah has to come Meirabo, Meirabo, Meirabo. It has to be a tradition brought down Mehalach L'Moshe Mesinai. What Rashi here is saying is, same thing is true by Hekesh. Hekesh cannot simply be made up on our own, even though the Torah juxtaposes, but that's fine. Obviously, there's a connection between this and this. But you need a Halach L'Moshe Mesinai. You still need a tradition. That's Rashi's opinion over here. And consequently, okay, now that it goes all the way back to Moshe Mesinai, now you understand, you can't ask questions, right? But it doesn't make sense, and then you'll use your logic, but it doesn't work over here. Kavachomer, you can ask all the questions of the world, because a person can make a Kavachomer on his own. Okay. That is Rashi, and that's where we got up into the Gemara. Uvit Tarvitza, we're back in the Gemara now, we are more than halfway down the page on Pei Beis Amad Beis, and we're starting with the words Uvit Tarvitza. Tarvitza is the yeshiva. Right? Rashi says it comes from Harbasa Satara. Right? Proliferation of Torah. Uvit Tarvitza Amar Vechi Davar Lame Behekesh Chosem Lame Behekesh. So the Gemara says it is a little bit strange because what we seem to be doing over here, according to Rabbi Eliezer, is going Hekesh to Hekesh. Meaning, Pesach Mitzrayim to Pesach Doros. That's Hekesh number one. Pesach Doros for all other Karbanos. That's Hekesh number two. And you know the rule, we learned in the middle of Zvachim, you can't jump Hekesh Hekesh in the world of Kachim. The Torah's got to spell it outright. So the Gemara says, Bechlala Itmar Pesach Kule Chada Milsehi. So in the yeshiva, the way they answered that is, Pesach Mitzrayim, Pesach Doros is not viewed as two separate entities. It's one whole entity. And so therefore, we're not going Hekesh Hekesh Hekesh. We're going Hekesh Mitzrayim, Hekesh Karban Pesach. Right? Karban Pesach can be divided into two parts, Mitzrayim versus Doros, but it's still, that's one. And then we go to all the other Karbanos. Okay. Period. And end of that first discussion for this morning, that is Rabbi Eliezer. So Rabbi Eliezer says, how do I know that Karbanos that are obligated, that you have an obligation to bring the Karban, cannot come from Eiser Sheni, but must come from Chulin? Answer is, he learns it out from Karban Pesach. All right, we continue in the Gemara. Rabbi Akiva Pesach Leino Ba'alam and Achulam Menale. So far, the only thing that we've seen is that Rabbi Akiva rejects Rabbi Eliezer. The whole notion of Dan and Efshar, Mishii Efshar, Rabbi Akiva does not subscribe to that. So now, where does Rabbi Akiva generate the halacha from? Nafkalei Mehada Amashmu Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. So the Gemara says it comes from the following. Now, it's going to be a long answer to this question. We're going to go a little bit long over here because what we're going to do is we're going to quote a pasuk in Parshat Tzav, end of the seventh parak of Vayikra, and we're going to darshan it. But before we darshan it according to Rabbi Akiva, we're first going to darshan it according to Rabbi Eliezer. Now, we don't need to right now, to be quite frank and honest, because for Rabbi Eliezer's standpoint, we already have a source in terms of how we know that the carbon has to come from Chul and not from Maaser Sheni. So this is almost like an introduction to Rabbi Akiva. It's going to be, again, it's a long answer. So Elamin Chul Menali Nafkele Mehadam Shmuel Mishum Rabbi Eliezer. The pasuk says like this: Zos HaTorah. This is in the middle of Parshat Tzav, after going through all the halachos of all the karbanos, the Torah gives like a summary statement. Zos HaTorah laOla ulaMincha ulaChatas ulaAsham ulaMiluim ulaZevach HaShlamim. Funny, so it sounds like a familiar pasuk to the Ashkenazim, because sorry, I'm leaving you out of this discussion. We have a piyut, right? We're not big on poetry, us Ashkenazim. I'll give you a little brief history of Ashkenazim. We had you people love the poetry. No, they're poets. They're the ones who wrote all the poetry, right? Lechadodi, all the poetry is written by Sephardim. Right, the Ashkenazim are not big on the poetry. So there is one piyut that we say. I have a funny feeling in Europe we did more, but here in America, there's one piyut that we say, and that's only an introduction to Musaf on Yontif, and that's it. And it's a short piyut. We sing it. That's it. So, anyways, and the piyut basically follows this pasuk over here. So ulazevach hashlamim. So, okay. Ola. So what we're going to do is like this. Meaning in this one pasuk, we have everything. All your kabbanos are covered in this one pasuk, which means your ola, your mincha, your chatas, your asham, your miluim, and zevach hashlamim. Six different types of kabbanos mentioned in this pasuk. Now, by the way, miluim are inaugural. So, okay, one time event, but. And what we're going to be doing now is that obviously the Torah is driving at something by putting all six of these together in the same pasuk. So we're going to learn out a halacha from one to the whole. And we're going to do that each one of the types of carbon that are mentioned over here. So number one, ola. Ma'ola tuna kli af kol tam kli. So we're going to say, what do we learn from the carbon ola? And the carbon ola requires a kli, a vessel. We don't know what that means yet. So just like the carbonola requires a vessel, so too all other carbonos require a vessel. So the Gemara says, Mahi, what vessel are we talking about? Ilema mizrak. Are we talking about the bowl? Which means you shecht an animal, and now I gotta get that animal to the mizbeach. So it's called a bowl. So what I do is I take a bowl and I collect the blood in a bowl and I bring the bowl over. And it has to be kli sharis. Now I know that's true by an ola, and what the Gemara now is proposing is that we'll learn from here that for all other karbanos, chatas, asham, shlamim, for all other karbanos, same thing. I'm going to need a bowl. So the Gemara says that I already knew it by other karbanos. Gabi zivche shamit zibur namiksev vayasem ba'aganos. The pasuk says that you put that in bowls. Now, it's the end. That's the end of Parshas Mishpatim. That is by Har Sinai, Maimad Har Sinai, where there they shechted both ola and shlamim. And the pasuk says that they took the blood and they put it in a bowl, and presumably it's going both on the ola and on the shlamim. So that's not what we're learning from carbonola. That's not exclusive to carbonola. So the Gemara says, Ela Sakin. So the halacha that we are learning now is a halacha of Sakin. That when you shecht a karbon, you must shecht it with a knife. Now, I'll ask you a simple question. What's your alternative? What else are you shechting with?
This
entire Gemara is a redo of what we saw in Zvachim. Okay, so I would have said, so funny, I would have said the pshat is, and I didn't look up the Gemara in Zvachim, to be fair and honest, but I have a funny feeling, that probably I think this because either the Gemara or Rashi said it over there. Right, you might have thought I could use a stone, I could use a reed, right? Any sharp instrument other than a knife. Can I show you Rashi over here? Again, the upstairs Rashi. Rashi, Sakin. Rashi says, what's the alternative? The Lohave Molkin, to do Malika. Can you imagine? Right? Malika on a bird. Right, that I understand. I mean, that's, you know, it's right. But the suggestion that Rashi's making over here, that we would have thought that you can do Malika on an animal, that's okay.
So maybe it doesn't mean Sakin like literally means anything like that.
Right, but I'm saying, but. I understand that, but without Rashi, I would have said like you. I would have said a stone. I would have said a reed. I would have said something like that.
Not so when he says sacking, doesn't mean sacking.
I know Rashi over here says that that you're not supposed to do malika. Right. Just a notion, the idea that I'm going to do malika. It's okay. It's difficult to understand. Let's leave it like that. Anyway, sacking. Sacking. So the halacha is that just by Ola, I need a knife. So too by all the kabanos when I shecht and I need a knife. So the Gemara says va'ola gufa minalan, and where's the source? Get ready for this. Now we did this already. All this we did in Zvachim already. How do I know this? Minalan dechti vayishlach Avraham et yadov v'yikaches ha'ma'acheles lishchot es beno. Avram, when he was ready to shecht his son the ola, so right Yitzchak was an ola, so consequently he used the ma'acheles. Ma'acheles is a knife. Now the Gemara says, now Yitzchak was an ola. Okay? Because when the ram came out and he shechted the ram, tachas beno, in place of his son, so the Pasuk says regarding the ram was an ola. So, and it's in place of his son, so that means that his son was planning to be an ola. Okay? Right, just
by the ola, it doesn't say that he used a knife for that.
It says the veikachas amacha, oh, for the ram.
Right.
Correct. In other words, you need to connect the dots. You do need to connect a certain amount of dots in order to get there. Okay, so that is what we learn out from ola. Okay, so point number one, ola, knife. Just like by an old carbon ola, I need a knife. So to by all of the carbonos, I need a knife. Next. Ma mincha ina necheles elas lezichre kahuna, af kol ina echelen ela lezichre kahuna. Mincha can only be eaten by male kohanim. Okay? And that's true by all these other karbanos. Now, of course, by the ola, there's nothing to talk about because the ola is not eaten. But by the chatzis and by the asham and by shlamim. Shlamim was also eaten by zichrei kohuna.
Shalmit tzibor.
So we're talking here, correct, we're talking here about shalmit tzibor. Shalmit tzibor are eaten by zichrei kohuna. Shalmit tzibor has the status of kodesh hakadoshim. Okay? It's not... not a regular shlomen. So ela zirche kuhuna, I've called inachal ela zirche kuhuna, my. So the Gemara says, okay, but which of these karbanos that are mentioned here in this pasuk did we not know? Meaning, the whole idea over here is that we're learning a halacha from one karban to the other karbanos. So we're learning out that these other karbanos are written by zichrei kohuna. We didn't know this by the other karbanos? So ichatos va'asham behejiksev. By chatzis and asham, the Torah goes out of its way to tell us it's written by zichrei kohuna. Izivchei shamit tzibor. And what about zivchei shamit tzibor? Yeah, the meat of your two kvasim that are brought on Shavuos, shamit tzibor. Me ribuye dekra asay. The pasuk doesn't say it, but we do already have a limud. We have a ribuy. The pasuk says b'kodesh hakodashim tochlanu kol zachar yochal oso. So the Gemara has a drasha. That's it. It's a drasha that teaches us that only the male kohanim eat the shamit tzibor. So the Gemara says, Tanaihi. Okay, plain and simple. Look, you're right. There is a braisa that quotes a drasha. Obviously, Shmuel over here feels that it's subject to a machlokas Tanaim. Meaning he's quoting Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer is a Tana. He disagrees. He says that the source that the shalmit tzibor is written by zichrei kohuna comes from our pasuk. Iga demasin lamahacha v'iga demasin lamehacha. Next. Okay, so far we have ola, we have mincha. What are we up to? Chatas. Ma chatas mikadasha bevalua avkol mikadasha bevalua. Carbon chatas. Let's say your carbon chatas. Meat of a carbon chatas, hot meat, okay, comes into contact with meat of another carbon, let's say a shlamim, and the shlamim absorbs the taste of the meat of the carbon chatas. Okay, what happens now? That shlamim takes on all the restrictions and all the regulations of your carbon chatas. Carbon chatas can only be eaten one day, one night, can only be eaten by zichrei kohuna, can only be eaten in the azara. All that now becomes true of the shlamim that absorbs the taste of the meat of the chatas.
What stage is this happening? I'm sorry.
After.
It's like when the kohen is grilling it.
He's grilling it.
Okay.
He's grilling it in the azara, and by accident he grills shlamim right next to a chatas. Okay, what's he doing with the shlamim there? So ma'ashem I'm sorry. So avikash bebalua. Okay, that's chatas. Good. No more discussion on that in the Gemara. Next, asham. What are we learning out from the asham? Ma'asham in shpir v'shaya kadosh bo. I've called in shpir v'shaya kadosh bo. By your asham, so shpir is the sack, right? The sack that holds the fetus. And the shalya is a placenta. Okay? So just like by a carbon asham, the sack and the placenta are not imbued with kedusha, so too the sack and the placenta of any carbon is not imbued with kedusha. Okay. Ready for this? By an asham, how do we know that its sack and its placenta are not imbued with kedusha?
But an asham is a male.
That's the correct answer. And a carbon asham is a male animal. It really is. It's such a trick question. So of course its sack and its placenta are not going to be imbued with kedusha because being that it's a male animal, so you're never going to get to the situation where it's going to have a sack and a placenta because it's a male animal. So what the Gemara just did, it didn't pull a fast one over us, but it did force us to think for just a moment. Wait a second, what kind of limud is that? You're telling me that, well, since by an ashram, its placenta and its sack is not kadosh, yeah, because it doesn't have one. So what the Gemara here is just doing is efshar midi mi'i efshar. Another classic example. But based on what we've seen over the course of yesterday and today, shouldn't bother us at all. Because remember, who's Shmuel quoting right now? Shmuel's quoting Rabbi Eliezer. And as we learned in yesterday's daf, when we went over the beginning of today's daf, Rabbi Eliezer is okay with efshar mi'i efshar. So this doesn't bother him. Okay, so now let's think this through. What the Gemara is teaching us now is that by any carbon, even a female carbon, if it has an offspring, if it has a baby, so the baby is obviously going to be imbued with kedusha. That we talk about all the time. The vlad of a carbon. That baby is imbued with kedusha. But all the other beautiful stuff that comes with the baby, right? The placenta, the sac, all those things are not imbued with kedusha. Okay, so when the placenta comes out, placenta doesn't have kedusha. You can take, please forgive me, you can take the placenta home, grill it, and enjoy it. It doesn't have kedusha.
Mm. All these examples, I was going to say that we cannot do eggs from this.
We're learning out, but the pasuk over here is a hekesh. This pasuk over here is like one huge hekesh. So it's right, but it's not hekesh, it's right, it's just one jump. It's ashram to all the other karbanos.
But the point is to prove that you cannot do two jumps.
You can't do two jumps, right? That's a general rule regarding hekesh. Now, the Gemara says, okay, good, but just make sure to know this. In order to say what we're saying, there are two points that you have to consider and just take into consideration. Number one, says the Gemara, kasavar vlados kachem behav yasan hein kedushin v'dan an efshar mishi efshar. So point number two we already went over, which is obviously we are done efshar mishi efshar. The asham doesn't have a placenta, and we're learning it out to all other kapanos, but again, that's fine. Okay. The other point to consider, the first point the Gemara said, is behav yasan, kedushin behav yasan hein. Okay, we'll see. This is such a classic debate that takes place in the Gemara, and it's really not resolved. But over here, the Braisa takes a very clear position. Okay, when you have a carbon, a female carbon that's pregnant, okay, that fetus that's in utero, okay, there are two ways to view it. Either it's a separate animal, just happens to be contained in this animal. That's one way to view it. Or two, is that it's just simply an extension of the mother. It's like a limb of the mother. A limb that will become detached, right, over the course of natural events, but it's considered a limb of the mother. The way the Gemara phrases this is uber yerech imo, that the fetus is considered just yerech imo, just like in a limb of the mother. So over here the Gemara says, to argue that the placenta and the sac are not kadosh, you got to go with the first way to look at it, not the second way to look at it. Because if we went the second way to look at it, meaning that if it's just simply an extension of the mother, so all growth of the mother is going to have kedusha, not when it's born, but while it's in utero, it already has kedusha. So this idea that only after it's born, now we basically get to say, the baby that came out, well, since its mother was Kaddosh, it will become Kaddosh. But then the afterbirth comes out, and the afterbirth is not going to have Kedusha, you can only entertain that, you can only hold that way, if only the Kedusha comes postpartum. Okay. So the Gemara says, those are just two points that you have to consider. Next. Miluim. Okay? Miluim are all the Karbanos that come at the inauguration of the Mishkan. Right? It was a while ago. It was a number of weeks ago. Right? Parsha Shmini. The Torah over there discusses all the Karbanos of the Miluim. That goes back to Pesach. So, Ma Miluim, Mosreihem Besreifa, Ve'ein Balechayim Mosreihem Besreifa, Avko Mosreihem Besreifa, Ve'ein Balechayim Mosreihem Besreifa. Okay. Leftovers. Right? Nosar. Okay. You know what happens to Nosar. First of all, you're not allowed to make Nosar. But if you make Nosar, what happens to the Nosar? It gets burnt. But that's Nosar meaning leftover meat. Right? What if it's leftover animal? Meaning, we didn't need the carbon. Right? Alright, I went and I got a carbon Pesach. And lo and behold, without me knowing it, right, my father got a carbon Pesach. All right, and we didn't communicate with one another. We got to Yerushalayim. It turns out we have one extra carbon Pesach. So one of the animals, not the meat, the actual animal, the live animal, is now left over. So you could have made the argument. It's a funny argument, but you could have said, "Well, it's nosar. It's leftover. So let's burn it, like the din of nosar." I know it's everyone's looking at me like I'm strange. But it is technically, it's, you know, legally it is nosar, it's leftover.
Do I need to have
Imurim to have nosar? No, nosar is just the idea that.
But nosar is there. That's mean Imurim get nosar. But that
I don't. It's not what we traditionally call nosar. It's, I understand. Even as I'm saying it, it sounds strange.
Nosar can't be alive.
You may have thought as a havamina that nosar is even that scenario. And you may have walked away with the conclusion of, okay, let's burn the animal. So what we learn from the miluim, no. Nosar is only by the meat of an animal, right? Only the flesh, the after the animals are shechted. And it was supposed to be consumed and it wasn't consumed. That's the nosar that gets burnt. But the leftover animal, the animal that I didn't need, that animal does not get burnt. Right? And we learn that from the miluim. Now I'm going to ask you a simple question. How do we learn that from the miluim? Meaning, how does the miluim teach us that? So Rashi writes simply, and again, I'm going to the Rashi upstairs today. I know I'm favoring the upstairs Rashi today. So ma miluim mosrem b'sreifa dichsiv v'im yosem bebasar miluim min alechem adabakar v'sreftas anor b'nosar b'eish. Sorry, the next Rashi. Ein mosrem b'alechayim b'sreifa d'bimiluim lo yifrishu shum behema la'achrayos v'lo hayosham b'alechayim mosar. When it came to the miluim, there simply was no, they did not designate an unnecessary animal. An extraneous animal was not designated for the miluim. How do we know? Meaning, I quoted Rashi. How did Rashi know that? Well, obviously, it's what the Gemara is assuming. Okay. Next, shlamim. Ma shlamim mefaglin u mispaglin af kol mefaglin u mispaglin. Okay, so what do we learn out from Shlamim? So quite simply, the din of pigel. Meaning, we spent a lot of time, wow, in Zvachim and Menachos, especially back in Zvachim, we spent a lot of time discussing the halachas of pigel, right? You know, sometimes it gets lost on us. Where does the Torah talk about pigel? Only by the carbon Shlamim. It doesn't talk about pigel by your chatas, by your asham. By no other carbon does it talk about pigel. How do we know that pigel is a concept that is a universal concept that applies to all carbonos? It's right here. This is the source that pigel is universal, applies to all other carbonos, based on this pasuk. Okay. Breathe, pause. Now, that is step one of today's Gemara. Meaning, what we just did is we quoted Shmuel, who quotes Rabbi Eliezer. I don't think this is a direct quote. Meaning Shmuel is, Rabbi Eliezer is an older Amora. Rabbi Eliezer was contemporaries with Rabbi Akiva. So I think this is Shmuel getting a tradition from Rabbi Eliezer, right? I'd venture to say that's how it works over here. But anyway, this is Shmuel quoting Rabbi Eliezer, and this is how Rabbi Eliezer darshens the pasuk. Okay, good. Okay. But that's not really what we want, meaning that's not what we're focusing on right now. Because our question for the day is, according to Rabbi Akiva, how do I know that when you have an obligation, it can't bring Maaser Sheni, it has to come from Minachulin? So, B'masnisa Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva. So that's the next part of today, which is, we're going to do this all over again. We're going to quote this pasuk and we're going to darshan it again. Aliba de Rabbi Akiva, all from the perspective of Rabbi Akiva, and then from that our question will be answered, which is that when you have an obligation, it has to come in a chulin. Okay, Tana Mishmei de Rabbi Akiva Zosa Tara v'chulei, and so the Gemara doesn't even quote the pasuk because we know the pasuk. And now we're going to go step by step according to Rabbi Akiva. What do we learn out from the pasuk? So first we go to mincha. Ma mincha mekadeshes bebalua, afkol mekadeshes bebalua. So what do we learn out from the mincha? Blia, absorption. If something absorbs the mincha, it takes on all the properties, rules, regulations, and restrictions of the carbon mincha. Now, if you remember, we made that point, right? Excellent. We made that point from the Chatas. So now what we're doing is we seem to be repeating ourselves. We seem to be making the same exact point of balua from Chatas and from Mincha. The itzrich lemichta of the Chatas, the itzrich lemichta of the Mincha. The Gemara is sensitive to this. The Gemara says they're necessary. The ikas of Rechmana be Mincha Mishim derechicha bala. The Mincha, we're talking about wheat. Wheat is a soft, absorbent material. So if I have wheat, in other words, just think about taking your bread and putting it in the soup, right? It's so soft, it's so absorbent. So mincha is the kind of thing where I can easily see it absorbing the taste of something else. But avachatas emaloh, but chatas, that's not meat. Meat is rougher. Meat is not as absorbent. So the Gemara says, no, there's still the concept of bliya by meat. Because of Rechman Abachatus, Mishum, the Basar, Agav, the Shamein, Kadir, Ava Mincha, Emalo. The meat, on the other hand, has a quality that bread doesn't have. Meat is fatty, right? And maybe it's that fat that helps all the flavor absorb. And if it comes into contact with something else, that fat will send it and basically, right, spread out that taste throughout the entire piece of meat because of its fat content. Bread, on the other hand, is not a fatty material. Bread is it's carb. It's a dry material. So each one of them has a unique nature to it where I would not necessarily learn out one from the other. Tzricha. Therefore, they're both necessary. Okay, so therefore we have covered now chatas and we have covered mincha. Now, Right. Tzricha chatas. Ma chatas ena baala min achulin uvayom. Ma chatas ena baala min achulin uvayom uviyado hayamanis. Of kol ena baala min achulin uvayom uviyado hayamanis. Okay. Now, from your carbon chatas, can only come from chulin. Carbon chatas can only be shechted during the day, and carbon chatas can only be done with your right hand. Okay? And so since that all three of those things are true by carbon chatas, it's true by all the other carbonas as well. Okay. How do I know carbon chatas can only come from chulin? The chatas gufa minalan. I'm Rav Chisda, I'm a krav. The ikri of aronis parachatas asher lo. Mi shalo v'lo mishal meiser. Okay. On Yom Kippur, Aaron brings a bull. Right? His par. The pasuk says, V'kiriv Aaron is par chatas, asher lo. That had to come out of his own pocket. That had to be his own monies. Post-tax dollar. So, just like Aaron's money has to come out of his own pocket, so too, mishalo v'lo mishal meiser. Okay?
Does that answer
Machlokes? Right? And that's it. Meaning, that, right, that's
the, but did Maaser apply to Aaron at this time?
I mean, is like an applicable
thing? I mean, in theory, it could, well...
I mean, if Rabbi Akiva wants to be so sticky with Rabbi Elazar, but these things didn't apply during his time.
Correct. In other words, you have to wait. In order for the halacha to be true, you're right. You have to wait till you get to Eretz Yisrael.
Right.
And then the Kohen would have produce, and the Kohen would have to take her trumas and maizros. And, okay. All right.
Yeah, but that's not the answer to the question.
And then this is it. The meaning this...
Who's it is?
Yeah. No, it doesn't answer that question.
Because it's not law.
It says Asher Lo. You're right. Now, I mean, I do hear what you're saying. Meaning on the machlokes between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda, who does the Maaser Sheni belong to? If you subscribe to Rav Yehuda's position that it belongs to you and not to Kadosh Baruch Hu, so then, right, so then how is this drasha going to work? Okay. I don't know if it answers the machlokes, but it certainly takes a side on the machlokes. Okay. Okay, so the Gemara now says, look, there were three halachas that we learned out from the Chatas. Number one, the Chatas has to come from your money, not from Maaser Sheni money. Number two, Chatas has to be done during the day, not at night. And number three, the Chatas has to be done with your right hand. So the Gemara says, halachas two and three, they're not generated from here. So the Gemara says, Bayom, maybe Yom Tavaso Nafka. But we have another source for that. So the Gemara says, Kedei Nasba. So the Gemara says, you're right. Over here, the Bryce kind of threw it in, right? It's like a bonus. It was like a package deal. But this is not really the source of the halach of Yom, that carbon can only be done during the day. Yado HaYamanis, right hand, midirabba babrachana nafkada, amirabba babrachana amirishlokish kamakub shenamar, etzpa, ukahuna eino ela yamin. Right? We had this before, right? We did this in Zvachim, that right hand comes from the words of etzpa and Kohen. So the Gemara again, same thing. Kedei Naspa. You're right. We just threw it in over here, but this is not really the source. And finally, okay, good. Now, the truth be told is that we really could stop over here. Meaning, this is it. Meaning, as for the question of the day, how do we know according to Rabbi Akiva that when you have an obligation, you cannot use Maaser Sheni, but you must use Chulin? So we learn it from Chatas. And how do we know about Chatas? We learn it from the part of Aaron on Yom Kippur. Okay. Ashama atzma sab mutar, nafko atzma sab mutar, but we are going to finish, however. The Braisa says, now what do we learn out from Asham? The bones of the Asham are mutar. Meaning, you shech the Asham, the Imurim go up on the Mizbeach, and now it's given to the Kohen, and we say to the Kohen, now eat. Now, we don't expect them to eat the bones, right?
Okay. You use them, I guess, for the marrow.
The marrow has to be eaten. The marrow is considered meat. But the bones themselves, so, I mean, we discussed this also earlier in Zvachin. The bones, bring the bones home, make bowls out of the bones, make musical instruments out of the bones. So ma hashem atzma sav mutar, nafko atzma sav mutar. Okay, Rabbi Akiva. Okay, one more point to finish up, and then we will finish the whole discussion. We'll finish the perek. Rabbi Akiva, hai v'zavachta pesach my avid lay. Good. So now we have a source for Rabbi Akiva that when you have an obligation, a chova, it has to come min hachulin. Good. Now remember, going all the way back to the beginning of the discussion, Rabbi Eliezer says my source is the Zavachta Pesach. What does Rabbi Akiva do with that pasuk? Rabbi Akiva, I have a Zavachta Pesach, my Avidle. We're now on the top of Pegim on Mudbeis. So, mi baile lechid Rav Nachman, dam Rav Nachman, am Rav Abarabu, mi nain la Moser ha Pesach. Leftover Pesach, right? We talked about this just this morning, right? I have an extra carbon Pesach that, for whatever reason, a miscommunication, didn't need it. And so now we assigned it as a carbon Pesach, but now we didn't need it. Pesach came and went, and much like all of us here in this room have leftover matzah, right? Nobody lied to me. You all have it. I have it as well, right? Is everyone like me where we use it next year or no? That's too much. So anyway, so just like we have leftover matzah, so could be that you have leftover carbon Pesach as well. Now, we're not talking about the meat, we're talking about the actual animal. So my avile me by Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Barabu, Minan Mosa Pesach, Shikrav Shlamim. So what do you do with it? Bring it as a Shlamim. All right, we all know the halacha. Carbon Pesach after Pesach now could be reassigned to a Shlomim. Shenemar v'zavachta Pesach l'Hashem lokecha tzon v'kar. And how do I know that? So it's a drasha. The drasha is presented to us by Rav Nachman, but really now we're saying this is Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva now is going to darshan the pasuk which Rabbi Eliezer darshan, but obviously Rabbi Akiva doesn't agree. So tzon v'kar v'aloin Pesach v'aylam and akvasum and na'izin. What does that pasuk mean? You're going to bring the Karban Pesach from cattle. Karban Pesach doesn't come from cattle. Ela Moser Pesach Yehel Adavar Habam in Atzon Umena Bakar. Karban Pesach is then reassigned to another type of Karban which comes from Sona Bakar. That's Shlomim. So Vahame Hachanafka Medavu Dushmol Nafka. So now what the Gemara is going to point out. This idea of Moser Pesach. So we just learned it out from a Pasuk in Parshas Re'eh. We are now going to learn out from two other psukim, making a total of three psukim in total that teaches us this idea of Moser Pesach, leftover Pesach. And the Gemara is going to be bothered by the obvious question, why do I need three separate sources in the Torah that all point to the same idea of Moser Pesach? Let's just go quickly through these other two psukim. V'hame hacha nafka medavu, d'shmul nafka dechsiv, im anatzon karbanol lezevach shlamim. In Parshas Vayikra, Perek Gimel, so the Torah there outlines, you could bring a shlamim, you could bring it from an animal, you could bring it from a lamb, you could bring it from a goat, and the Torah actually goes through each one individually. So, im min hatzon karbano, if you bring it from sheep, that's something that could have come from a sheep, i.e. your Karban Pesach, can be reassigned to a shlamim. That's pasuk number two. Pasuk number three. Ve'akati ma'afka nafka me'asam nafka ve'atanya. Keves le'rabos es ha'pesach la'al yam. When it says keves, when the Torah there goes and talks about the sheep's got this big tail. It's big and it's fatty. What do I do with the tail of a sheep? That goes up onto the mizbech. That's considered part of the chalev that goes up onto the mizbech. That's not eaten.
Is that the
Alya? It's the Alya. Yeah. The Alya. So the I hearken back to the story in Psachim, the second page of Psachim on Daf Gimel. It's one of my favorite stories in Shas, right, where the non-Jew comes over to Yehuda ben Becerra and says, I go up to Yerushalayim and I eat Karban Pesach in Yerushalayim. And Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, really, really, and he's not Jewish, and he's flaunting it. He's right. He's bragging. So Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra says, I'll tell you what. Right. They give you the tail.
Yeah.
You know the tail's the best part of the animal. And they didn't give you the tail. So why don't you do this? Why don't you go up to Mitzrayim? Up to Yerushalayim and ask, and I'll tell you what. And they're going to tell you who told you to ask, and you quote me, right? You tell them. Yehuda ben Becerra says you ask for that tail, and he goes up and he's not in on it, and he goes up and he goes there to Yerushalayim and he says, I'd like the tail of the Karban Pesach, and they all look at each other. Tail goes up onto the mizbech. Who asked you to ask for the tail? And he says, Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra, and they realize, oh, that's a message. And they did a little investigation, and they found out that he wasn't Jewish, and you know the story, and the story goes, they killed him.
He went home with his tail between
his they killed him. And so many issues from that story. We could spend a lot of time talking about that story, right? Tosfos over there asked such a good question. Why wasn't Rabbi Yehuda ben Becerra there in Yerushalayim, bringing Karban Pesach? Okay. Anyway, so keves l'rabos it's a pesach la'alya. Kishu omri im keves lahavi pesach she'avar shnaso u'shlamim habay machmas pesach l'chol mitzvah shlamim. Meaning that if you have a Karban Pesach that ends up converting to a shlamim, now it takes on all the rules of shlamim, which is she'it anu smicha requires smicha. You know, Karban Pesach doesn't require smicha.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Unisachim, and also Karban Pesach doesn't require nisachim. And tenufachas v'shokan, the waving of the parts of the animal that are going to go to the kohen, all these things don't happen by the Karban Pesach. All these things need to happen by shlamim. When your Karban Pesach is converted to a shlamim, it takes on all these rules and regulations. Kishu omer v'im eiz hifsika inyan limed ala eisha inatuna alya alya. And when we get to eiz, And the Torah says, and by the goat, now the goat happens not to have a big fluffy tail, but aside from that, there's no din, there's no law that states that the tail of the goat needs to go up onto the Mizbeach. Anyway, we have now three times over spoken out the idea that if I have a Karban Pesach and I don't need it, it's brought as a shlamim. Why three psukim? Tlasa kreiksiv, chad. So the Gemara says each one of them raises a level of chiddush. Chad la'avras mano v'avras shnasa. You know the Karban Pesach, first of all, it's born the 14th day of Nisan. Okay? Let's say now it missed a boat. Right? Missed a boat. And on top of that, it gets too old. Karban Pesach can only come from 1 year old, meaning within its first year of life. Okay? That has to be Karban Pesach. So if it missed a boat this year, right, we all know it ain't making it next year, because next year it'll be too old. So chad l'avrazman of avrashnasal. So if it was avrazman and avrashnasal, meaning it's both after Pesach and it's too old, so now I'll say it gets converted over to a shlamin. Chad l'avrazman of avrashnasal. But let's say it missed Pesach, but it's still within its first year.
Pesach sheni.
Oh, so I may thought to use it for Pesach Sheni. The Chiddush is I could still use it for Shlamim. Chad lelo avras manav lelo.
But that's not applicable because the reason you have a second one is because you already did a Pesach.
Right, correct. But maybe somebody else will use it.
You have to give it to someone.
V'chad lelo avras manav lelo avras naso. And the third time now is for the biggest Chiddush, which is it's not even the 14th day of Nisan yet. So in other words, I have a Karban Pesach. And I know in advance we're not going to need it. Right? We dedicated too many Karban Pesachs.
So it
still changed.
Be a shlamin.
I could still convert it over to a shlamin. Utzricha, and the Gemara now just lays out how each one is a bigger chiddush than the next. In the first scenario, it's totally pushed off. It's after Pesach and it's too old anyway. But here in case number two, I could use it for Pesach Sheni. Yes, meaning Avraz Manav Alo Avraz Naso. Did Chalemi Pesach Rishon Avalo Avraz Manav Alo Avraz Naso. Dafila Pesach Rishon. Nami Chazi. But in the last case, where it's the biggest Chiddush, I could bring it, in theory, I could still bring it this year. Emalo. So there's no way that it can be converted to a Karban Shlamim. Tzricha. That's why each one of those Pesukim are necessary, each one adding a Chiddush one over the other. That is the end of the eighth parak of Menachos. Okay, let's quickly start the ninth parak of Menachos. We have a couple of minutes, and I'm so thrilled that we're up to speed in terms of where we are in the daf. Okay, again, these parakim, these last parakim in Menachos deal with some more fundamental issues, some basic issues. Somebody, I forgot who, I apologize, somebody asked me this question, I did not know the answer, and it comes up for discussion right now in this first Mishnah. Right? We know that the Shtei Alechem and the Karban Omer are Menachos, and they're brought from new grains. Right? They're the Matir. They permit grains to be, all the new grains to be eaten. The Omer permits all of us to eat the new grains of the year, and the Shtei Alechem permit new grains in the Beis HaMikdash to be brought. The Omer itself, does it have to come from new grains? Meaning, can I use last year's grains in order to be brought to the Karban Omer? Yes. Or does the Omer have to be brought from new grains?
We had that discussion. No?
I know we had that discussion. Somebody asked me the question. I didn't know the answer. Okay, so now I know the answer a little bit better. The Mishnah starts off, Kol Karbanos HaTzibor V'ayachid by Mina Aretz Mechutz Aretz. Karbanos HaTzibor, an individual Karbanos, can come from Eretz Yisrael and Chutz Aretz as well. You can import an animal, import grains, okay, and they could be brought as a carbon. Why not? Min haChadash u'min haYashan, and you could use new grains, you can use old grains.
So even before the Omer, you can
wait. Let's finish the sentence. Chutz min haOmer u'shtei halachem, she'ein ba'im ela min haChadash u'min haAretz. But when it comes to the Omer and the Shtei Alechem, these are exceptions. They must come from Chadash, and they must come from Eretz Yisrael. The Kulan Ein Aban Elam in a Mufchar. Now, really, all of Eretz Yisrael is eligible, but you should go for the best of Eretz Yisrael.
The question was that it was because of the weather or something, it got delayed.
Eza, right. Eza mufchar shalem. So what's the best places? So, machnis vizatcha alpha solas. So you go for your alpha, literally your alpha, right? Your number one spots are machnis and zatcha. I can't help you. I don't know where they are. So shniolahem, okay, second grade, right, grade two, is apurim bibika. Again, no help from me in terms of where these places are. I apologize. Okay, my geography is really poor today. Okay.
Google,
find out. Yeah. So, okay, now, again, you can go anywhere in Eretz Yisrael, but we just gave you grade A and grade B. So, grade A is Zatcha and Machnis, and grade B is Afarim. Okay, good. Okay, so.
Urban Toda can be brought from Chadash, and then the people would eat Chadash?
Yeah, so, right. So, right, we'll talk a little bit about that. What does that mean? That all carbons can be brought from Chadash, right? Yes, we will talk about that. Okay. Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that. All right, we'll pause over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up from the Mishnah. I'm sorry, the Gemara. The Gemara is going to discuss exactly that question, which I introduced the ninth parak with. Can I bring Omer Shtealechem from old grains? For in the Mishnah it sounds no. If the answer sounds like you absolutely can't. Tomorrow we start the Gemara. We're going to discuss exactly this issue. Can I bring it from? Is it possible to bring it from older grains? Okay. Welcome to the ninth parak of Menachos. It's really short. Your short parak.